Hey everyone, before we start the show, just want to let you know that our live shows at Largo are Deep Blue Sea and Lake Placid. Follow us on Twitter and on Facebook to find out which time for which show. We are waiting on talent availability. Now, before we start the show, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and an incredible, bonkers 24/7 customer support. I just created my site on Squarespace, and it's awesome. I stand by it. Try Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter the offer code BONKERS, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. What's that? You guys want another pre-roll ad? I'm going to give it to you. Today's episode is sponsored by Bombas. Bombas are awesome. They are socks that are engineered to look and feel better than any sock that you've ever worn on the planet. I mean, these are leisure socks. So these are not business socks, okay? These are so comfy. And the socks are the number one most requested clothing item at homeless shelters. You know that? And Bombas donates a pair of socks for each pair bought. They've already donated 300,000 pairs. So when you buy one of these, you're actually helping out people. So go to bombas.com, bombas.com/how, H-O-W, and you'll have the choice of either getting 20% off your entire order or a bonus pair with your order. That's bombas.com/how. And guys, when you put socks on your feet, you're putting socks on somebody's feet who actually need it. So let's do this. Let's make a difference in this world. The children are our future. Treat them well and let them wear socks. Girl gets spooked. We saw Safe Haven, so you know what that means.
What's a nigga grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow. And take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive? They call it in the badass, and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes, cause they cool as ice. Cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made? That's a good look, Haru.
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? That song, I hear a new lyric in it every single time. I am Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by my co-host, Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. We are sadly not joined by June again. So sorry about that.
Is she mad at us?
She is. she did do the Zardoz mini episode.
Oh, so, she did. Oh, good.
So she got to talk on that. So
thank
she is.
God.
Yeah, she's around. She did not watch this movie though, so there will be no Safe Haven mini episode on this one.
Heartbreak.
A real sadness. We are joined by two special guests today. These are super amazing people. Please welcome a very funny person, Eliza Skinner. Welcome, Eliza. How are
Hi.
you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
Very good. Very excited to have you on the show.
Me too.
And another very funny person who has a movie coming out very soon. We'll talk about that. Please welcome Jordan Rubin.
Hello.
Hello, Jordan. How are you?
I good.
You directed this movie called Zombie Beavers, right?
Zombie Beavers, one word. That's how you get the pun in.
Oh, okay. I like it.
I got to get my pun in.
Got to get that pun in, bro. Yeah.
And when does that come out?
That comes out March 20th.
All right. We'll talk about that more at the end, but okay. I already like Zombie Beavers. All right. Guys,
I'd like Zombie Beavers. Nailed it.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. So
I'm on fire, guys.
Before this,
have I mentioned that I'm sick?
Yeah.
I heard one of the podcasts recently where you were sick.
Yep.
Again.
Still, I'm sick with a different illness. Now.
No,
you're
can't that, be stopped. I've been
thing.
Sick four yeah. times this winter. Literally four times.
That's a character choice?
It is a character choice, yes. It informs every decision I make.
And if you want to donate to the show, you always can because it will go to Jason's health fund.
Yes, I do not have insurance. So it's all free clinics for me, guys.
Are you getting a lot of good advice about how to not get sick?
Oh, most I'm getting that, and I'm also getting a lot of, hey, you don't have to come tonight.
Oh, that's nice.
It's smart.
Hey,
no, you don't want
disease bag.
It.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, guy. Hey, guy who's been vomiting.
Oh, no, you've been vomiting.
I was vomiting earlier in the week.
So sad. So
it's,
sorry.
It's not been great. It's not been great. And I will say that to the four people who are now trapped in a room with me.
Yeah, this is too close for comfort. I don't like this at all. I coughed today in a public place, and the guy goes, "Was that a cough or a sneeze?" And I was like, "Oh, wow."
Now, was he wondering whether to say "God bless you" or whether he...
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, but it was, but it came across
just
so...
Say it.
It came across so aggressive that I was like, "I'm sorry, I felt so..."
I don't know whether to bless you or whether to be afraid.
I got so nervous, and it was polite. All right, so before we started recording, I said to Liza and Jason that I'm...
Because I was late.
Jordan was late.
Which I apologize for on air.
So people of this podcast, you let Jordan know his lateness is not appreciated.
Follow him on Twitter and tell him, be on time.
But they can't tell that I'm late, right?
No, they will know. The podcast started on time.
That's the magic of
pod. But we've just told them.
Right.
We've just told them.
I feel like you guys are passive-aggressively putting this on the listeners. To hey, guys.
I actually brought it up.
If you have something you want to say to him.
If you want to get in there.
Hey, listeners. And you tell Eliza, listeners.
Oh, no. I asked for it.
We send our listeners out to attack people on social media.
No, we are mobilizing our listeners to settle our beefs for us.
Oh, that's some morning zoo shit right
there.
Yeah,
100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Radio wars.
I was saying that this movie... to me, in many respects, kind of blew my mind because it's the most normal, seemingly normal, but insane film. It like everything about it, if you had the volume off, you'd be like, oh, it's just a simple
like
romance.
Beachy beach town love story.
And it is anything but that. It's really kind of crazy on all levels.
It's like five movies happening at once. Like, and if you put on five movies and we're like, I'm going to take it all in.
And you're switching the channel so you don't know the plots of any of them fully. You're like, I think that's what's going on here. And it all kind of mixes. And you said it really good about what you think.
I feel like as I was watching this and as the stuff started to kind of unfold and the reveals started to happen, I really genuinely was like, oh, this is like, I think Nicholas Sparks might be for like beachy community white people. He might be the Tyler Perry of beachy white people, right, where it is just like a morality play.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Played out in this idyllic community.
It almost seemed like the Nicholson Diane Keaton movie for a second.
Oh yeah,
if you had the sound off.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like
not as good as it gets. One of those.
Yeah, something's gotta give. Something's gotta give.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it absolutely is Tyler Perry.
Yeah,
straight up. As I said,
white Taylor. It's white wine Tyler Perry. It's like because even the title, like Safe Haven, is about having a person and that person saving you and rescuing you.
Oh,
and,
I watched Safe House.
Oh yeah, then you're okay.
Oh, so I'm gonna be way off for the
Denzel. Ryan Reynolds.
But it is. That's a really. I think that's the best way to kind of describe this movie. It is it's a full on morality tale.
And they're all also always about women who just can't let themselves be loved.
Again.
Like, why won't you just let me love you, woman? And she's got a really good reason in this
one. Except for the ex.
What?
She seems to be okay with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But there's always like a woman.
Right, right.
And there's another one that's like, girl, come on.
Yeah.
Let him love you.
Yeah, just let him love you.
Just to give you a very brief overview, because the movie doesn't have much meat on the bones in the sense of the plot.
It's full of skinny people?
It's a very skinny movie. Julianne Hough, star of Dancing with the Stars, we catch up with her in the beginning of the movie, running out
is
of a
house. Is this her first movie?
Her first leading role.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I big deal. They spent some money on her and Josh Duhamel and nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And a beautiful scenery. We catch up with her. She's like leaving the house, running out of the house, panic. Something has happened.
Brunette.
And she escapes on a bus to this small town to start a new life. We don't know.
Oh, she's also has like blood on her hands.
Yes.
And all over her.
Oh, yeah.
She has blood.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Will we ever learn? No. No, we'll never learn in the whole movie.
Yeah. And she escapes. Once she gets on the bus and escapes, she's blonde.
Yes.
And we see that she's being pursued by police.
Exactly.
That is the cold open of the movie.
And you think it feels like a little bit like The Fugitive or something like that.
Right.
Like
I
opening
thought Fugitive
of The Fugitive.
Too.
Yeah.
That opening where you're ambiguous things and
yeah,
on
what's
the
going
run.
On? And she's being chased by this really aggressive. And again, this is my interpretation of the movie as I'm watching it. A cop who's like, God damn it, where is
who's
she?
Relentless.
Mm-hmm. Relentless.
Relentlessly pursuing her because he's going to get this this criminal.
Yes, and he is stopping buses on the side of the road, which seemed like a very ineffective technique because he could only stop one bus at a time.
He stopped two out of the three buses.
Yes.
And just let the third bus go.
Yeah, he should have been like, everyone stop.
And he had
his
car ready to go.
And he had other men with him. Yes. Why didn't he mobilize? You go to that bus, I'll go to this bus. You go, you know.
They were new.
He's a lone wolf.
And by the way, just remember this idea that he had other men with him because
Why?
Yeah, we're going to come back to this scene and go, none of this makes sense when it's contextualized.
Yes. I feel like all of that stuff, all of the like the chase and then later and they have some digital imaging on her photo.
Oh, Detective Photoshop?
Yeah, I feel like all of that stuff is the attempt to make it a date movie. Like, this should just be for girls. You know what? The fellas are really going to love her being hunted. That's really going to make them feel excited. So everybody will come.
Well, and I love that the cop stuff, because at this point, the movie splits into two.
Yes.
Whereas Julianne Hough gets off the bus in this kind of like North Carolina, like mm-hmm. it seems like Cape yes. Cod is mm-hmm. North Carolina beach town, like idyllic small town USA. And then cuts
Southport.
Between, yeah, Southport, cuts between that and like the rough and tumble Boston cop who's yes. pursuing her. And everything in North Carolina is shot like achingly beautifully, like lovely mm-hmm. vistas of these places. And everything in the Boston with the cop is handheld, jittery,
gritty,
crazy.
Darker than a Law and Order office.
Basically, the lights are off
yes.
everywhere.
This movie, by the way, we should say, is shot by Lasse Hallström.
Yes.
Lasse Hallström movie.
I was blown away by that. And I started to think about
it. Who made like Chocolat and...
Oh, wow.
I mean, he made Cider House Rules.
Cider House Rules.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah.
You know, like big movies.
Did he shoot all of it? Or like, did he come in every other day?
I don't know, but I was like, oh, he's a good director. He should be like, this is not, wow, okay. This is what Lasse Hallström's doing.
But you know what? He also shot another one.
Another Nicholas Sparks book?
Yes, called Dear John with Channing Tatum yeah. and Amanda Seyfried. So I think these might be money gigs, right?
Yeah,
because
maybe.
He might be like, shit. Like, you know what? I want to do a 100-foot journey, but that's not making any money at the box office.
Yeah.
It's going to make $100 million. Let's boom.
Yeah,
cash that
okay.
check.
I get that.
Cash that check to make some more cider.
That sweet, sweet yeah. cider.
Gotta make that cider, bro.
Now, again, I've never been hunted by a police officer, but I think it's a bad move to move to a populated beach town where you're, like, she basically gets a job right where the bus stops. Like,
yep.
so, like, at the apex of where
she's
people,
a fish out of water?
Yeah. Like,
and she constantly has to hide every time a bus comes in. We have, a few
yeah.
scenes where a bus
or
pulls
a
in
cop.
And she's like, and hides behind yeah. something.
I did say it in the opening, too. She's spooked in this movie by everything.
Yep.
Coffee machines, yes. floorboards.
I didn't understand that. It was as if she had just returned from a tour of duty. The
yes.
coffee machine, why would that scare? Why would an explosion scare nothing?
Yeah, she doesn't have PTSD.
Yeah,
she's being hunted by a man.
Yeah, just a quiet man.
A car backfires. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I also love that she shows up with no money, nothing, and she gets to rent a whole house.
A house?
I mean, it's a little
house.
Shack, but I'm like...
Yeah.
Fuck.
But by the
I gotta be on the run.
It's
yeah.
a shack.
Get some nice digs.
In the middle of the far, like, really, not even, it doesn't even look
it's like...
It's like
a Unabomber kind of situation.
Yeah. But I don't
but
know,
it's
it
much,
seems
she
cute.
Can walk to, oh, it's super cute.
Super cute.
And she paints the floor yellow.
Now, did she buy it, or did she rent it?
No, she's renting.
She rented.
All right, renting it.
Once she saved up enough money by waiting tables for one day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
To get the down
yeah.
payment.
Yeah.
In Southport.
That's all it costs? Yeah,
you
just,
you need
sure.
You need to pinky swear in Southport, and that's about it. She promised to pay the last month rent?
Just to clarify also, so she got the job... basically she's going by one name.
Yeah.
I think I looked it up on IMDb, and that character only has one name. I don't even think they did the / for her real name.
Yes, that's what. Yeah,
which was weird. But she has one name.
Yes.
So what ID is she showing? What place allows
None.
You to
Zero.
Fill out your tax?
She has
your,
no information. She has no
back,
social
yeah.
security card number. She has nothing.
I right. feel like every problem there is answered by someone looking at her and going, "Oh, sweetie."
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a. Oh, sweet.
Oh,
sugar,
oh you're
course.
Scared by
you
can... espresso machines. Yeah. Have a job.
You're
and
so
she,
small and
she
white.
She literally is like, yeah, she, and like work. And this town, and she's working in like the farce, the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company of this town, the uncorporatized Bubba
Ivan's,
Gump.
Ivan's yeah. Shrimp Shack or whatever.
yeah. Which seems to be really populated
Places
for
jumping.
A small town. Like, but it's like, it's where people basically come to piss and shit. Because that bus at one point stops and everyone like kind of runs into the bathroom in the general store.
And he's also surprised that she's stayed.
Yes.
Not because people just come through that town.
It is.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I
people
guess I noticed
poop
you.
Here. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's the meet cute. The meet cute of this movie is she gets off the bus. She goes into the general store and gets a cup of coffee from Josh Duhamel.
Mud. Cup of mud.
A cup of
that's
mud, he calls it. Yep. He calls it mud. He's got two kids. He runs the general store.
And by the way, I'm going to say that his six-year-old seems to run that general store.
She really does.
That girl's behind the counter all the time.
Controversially, I enjoyed the performance of this little girl, Lexi.
100%.
I thought she
controversially,
was...
Controversially, yeah.
I thought she was terrific. As a kid for a kid actor,
yes.
She had a lot of different stuff to do, and I thought she was great.
But none of it... Well, very little of it was actually pivotal, and besides like her kind of bringing Katie in. I think that... I imagine there was like a couple of lines for her, and then after the first day, everybody went back and was like, this girl needs a bigger part. Well, she's amazing.
You are right. First of all, I'll let you guys know that the little girl, Mimi Kirkland, was nominated for a Young Artist Award.
Amazing.
I don't know if she won, and I don't know who she lost to. And Hallstrom says that many of the scenes contained improvised takes. So I think that also equates
to
some of the awkwardness in scenes.
So
like there are some pregnant pauses there. And I turned to the people I was watching the movie with, and I said, a lot of this
did you have a viewing party for this movie
that I wasn't invited to? I oddly did. I watched this actually with June's sisters.
Amazing.
Both of them. One who had seen it in the theater by herself.
What?
And was sat down for it again.
Wow.
And I said to him, I said, this movie feels like it's made up primarily of scenes that you would cut out. Like, if you made a movie, you would be like, okay, here's the three big scenes.
Story.
We don't need these three scenes that connect these two other scenes. It's like, oh yeah, we'll just do the walk home.
Yeah.
Well, nothing happened in the walk home. Yeah, well this is good.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like.
But shoot, in case we need it in the edit.
It's an art.
That should be called.
It's an art film. The film is really the film that isn't there.
It's right. Like they shot the inverse of the scenes that you need to see for the best. Yeah, it's so crazy. I mean.
The parts a sculptor carves away. That's what they use.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I feel like Josh Duhamel is this generation's Harry Connick Jr.
I would say, right? I mean, I don't even know if that does him justice. I found him very charming.
I did too.
I think he's been cute for so long that he was also that generation's Harry Connick.
Perhaps.
When he was a kid.
I'm going to say something.
But I enjoyed him. I thought he was good.
I'm going to say something very June about him.
All right.
And this. I think he's too skinny. I think he lost a little bit too much. I feel like I think he's trying to like you know, when like there's certain dudes who I feel like.
Get fit?
Get too fit. And I looked at his arms one time. I'm like. Get some more meat on those bones, man.
Oh, okay.
That's a little June comment.
You want him to chub up, June Paul?
I just want him to get a little bit more. I'm worried about him.
Yeah.
I felt like when he took off his shirt, he definitely was built, but it felt like he was only built because he was emaciated.
So
were you machinist.
Were you Carson Daly worried or? Or not?
I'll say Carson Daly.
Okay.
But he was great. I have no real problem with the acting, per se. I think I have more of a problem with
I have a controversial statement. I have a macro controversial statement. I enjoyed this movie.
Whoa!
Oh. Wow.
I don't know if it's because I'm sick and was just lying at home and feeling sorry for myself, but like I legit was into this movie. I was like on board for it.
I mean, it sucked me in.
Yeah.
I felt I was sucked in, but I was also like, what the fuck is this?
I thought it was Cuckoo Bananas.
Yes.
But was 100% on board and for real cried at the end.
I cried at the end too. I cried.
No, I cried.
At the end, I was like, this movie
hard.
Is such garbage. This is such garbage.
You didn't cry, right?
Oh, so, and what, how come nobody ever, are we going to find out? Can I just skip around or if we already skipped around?
You can skip around, but explain what you're skipping.
Yeah,
there's a number of reveals in this movie that are huge.
Okay, right. Well, I was like, this is garbage. And then the final reveal, and I was like, crying. And I'm like, I love this garbage.
You cried too?
Absolutely.
So everyone here cried except me.
I think I'm a real sucker for...
You don't have emotions.
I don't.
I'm a real sucker for women getting along.
Yeah.
Because I feel like every movie, like one of the narratives people just love like tossing out there is like, ladies hate each other. All women always fight.
Yeah.
So anything with even like a whiff of like, this woman really really respect this like other woman.
Like Sex in the City 2?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great film for women. Wow, you know, it really like took us to new places.
A real yeah. Built, like bedrock
that changed the
foundational
Senate.
Movie mm-hmm. for women's yeah. relationships.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing, people. I love Squarespace. I love it so much that I decided to put them to the test. I made my own website. That's right. PaulShear.com is now a Squarespace site because I wanted to see if I was selling you guys bullshit. And guess what? I'm not selling you bullshit. I'm selling you real shit. Good shit. Okay, because Squarespace is simple. It's powerful. It's beautiful. Seriously, I didn't have to be an HTML head to actually make a good website. They had 24/7 support, and I didn't get special treatment. And by the way, they didn't give me anything for free. So this is actually a plug from the heart, okay? They have live chat and email, and they got back to me pretty quick. It's only $8 a month. You get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for the year. Plus, the design is super responsive. Your website scales to look great on any device. That's totally true. On my iPhone, it looks good. Commerce, you can do it, all right? Every website comes with a free online store and cover pages, a feature that allows you to set up a beautiful one-page online presence in minutes. It's true. If I owned a restaurant, I'd be going to Squarespace. If I owned myself, which I don't, I've sold myself into this contract with the devil. Anyway, I don't want to get into it, but Squarespace is the best. Start a trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, and you will, if you have the means, $8 a month, you can do this. Make sure to use offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off your first purchase and show your support for How Did This Get Made. If you do that, that helps the show. So if you go there, put in BONKERS, people are like, oh shit, this works. Advertising works. We should support the show, and then the show is free. So we thank Squarespace for their support of How Did This Get Made, and now I got a website. And so, suck it. Suck it, internet. I'm doing it.
Before we get into the two amazingly giant reveals, I want to just talk about one scene that really was close to my heart, which was the heavy paint can scene.
Oh, my God.
Where Julianne
Huff... Why won't you just let him love you?
Julianne Huff goes to the store to buy some paint to paint her floors, and she gets these two paint cans in, and
well, she damaged her floor with a hole, so she decides to paint it.
Yeah.
Right?
Because if you do enough layers over the hole, it will all
as long
just
as three or four layers.
Did everybody notice what the primer was called?
Yeah. Right. Oh, 100%. Yeah, I wrote it down.
Okay. You're telling the story, so you can go ahead.
Well, the primer is called Fresh Start.
Oh, no.
So Josh Duhamel hands her a can.
Are you sure you don't want to rescind
Fresh
that?
Start.
You don't want to take back that you like that movie?
Oh, that was terrible. There's a lot of terrible stuff
well,
in this
on.
Movie.
In terms of symbolism, rewinding for it. One sec, if we could just rewind to when she first gets to the town and they push in on that buoy.
Oh, yeah.
Alone, like finally off on its own. That, like, really?
Is that buoey gonna find a life?
Yeah,
that, like, can find
where's
friends
that buoy
and support.
Headed?
I learned about a metaphor.
I hope that
from
other buoy isn't chasing that buoy.
There's another buoy throughout the whole movie. Another buoy is like getting closer and closer.
And another buoy tries to stop that buoy and is like, "You're gone too far." And the buoy's like, "Shut up, I'll find her."
The baby buoys fall off the buoy, and then the other buoy rescues the buoy.
And the buoy's holding two little paint cans.
So she goes to get these paint cans, and he's like, "You want me to give you a ride?" And she's like, "No, I got them." And she carries these paint cans no more than 7 feet.
One try. Yep.
And she's like, "Oh," and drops them down. And then for the next scene is rubbing her sore hands.
As if the cans cut into her hands. Like she has like has suffered real damage.
Guys, it's really hard having girl hands. They're very soft.
It's
and
true.
They are easily damaged. So, I mean, as a woman, I could go maybe 2 steps. So.
I wish that we had decided ahead of time that you would do this entire podcast in that voice.
Okay.
I will also.
I loved it.
Based on what we find out later about this character, which we'll get into, the fact that she's hurt by two paint cans but did some other crazy ass shit makes no sense.
Yeah, just
did
cut
some
between
other crazy
the,
what?
Crazy ass shit. She did like some crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, and so are we supposed to believe, and I think this is what you're led to believe, is I think this is what we're going into the movie going, she murdered someone and she's on the run.
Yes.
That's what we're led to
that
believe.
That is the red herring or whatever.
Covered in blood. I don't know what happened.
We see her stab somebody in the beginning.
Right. We have
the opening shot is she stabs somebody. She appears to stab somebody, covered in blood, runs away barefoot, gets on a bus and flees, and then the cop is pursuing her.
My question is, the people We live in Los Angeles.
Yeah. We do.
So, yeah. So the people like us that are surrounded constantly by movies and movie talk and movie plots, I mean, I think I was watching going, well, she's going to end up being fine. Yeah, she's bad, but something's going to turn. They can't make a character. It's her movie. She wouldn't agree to do it. Do you think the person not in this business is honestly going, she killed someone?
Well,
like, because I was thinking it, but I was like, not really.
Well, I feel like, well,
there's going to be some.
Well, I thought in my mind, it's like, you can, when you find out why she killed someone, you can maybe sympathize.
That's what I thought too. I think not for nothing. Like, even people seeing this anywhere know they're seeing something that has been marketed to them as a romantic comedy that looks like it's a Nicholas Sparks book. Like, I feel like, I don't think anybody thinks she's guilty, but I think that's what I thought too. I thought she killed someone.
She'll be
justifiably.
Right.
Exactly.
But now it's complicated, the movie. She has to walk away.
She went on the run because she can't, she's too nervous to testify because she she would get off if she was at a trial. She should just let it be trial.
And the whole time I thought she killed her abusive husband. Sleeping with the enemy from the beginning.
Very similar to Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yeah. But the
difference in Sleeping with the Enemy is you know everyone's perspective before going into it. This movie kind of lets you in slowly and doesn't really give you anything until very late in the game.
Yeah.
Then it gives you everything. Yeah.
Should we give the first reveal?
Well, first, let's also just...
Go ahead.
I want to introduce one other part of it. So she makes friends with Josh Duhamel. Josh Duhamel is a single dad. He has two kids. His wife died of cancer. And then also, she makes a best friend, this next-door neighbor, who is kind of like this weird... She's played by Colby Smothered. Smulders?
Whoa.
Smulders.
Colby?
You murdered.
Colby Smulders.
I really... I just murdered
Smothered.
She's one of the Smothers brothers.
Side note, another big Tyler Perry flag, death from cancer. Someone who's not around anymore because of what kind?
Cancer.
I don't know. Cancer.
Just cancer.
And it felt like, to me, at a certain point, she had just died. And then later on in the movie, he goes, my older son remembers her. My younger daughter remembers the idea of her.
So, she's
been dead for
I thought that it had been like a year or something. I thought somebody said something pretty early on that
it seemed like a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
But I agree. The woman at the restaurant is like the exposition machine in this context, where she's always just well, you know about his wife, right?
Yeah,
and then gives like a full like little monologue about him and his wife, and she died, and he's never recovered. It just about split him in half.
Yeah,
blah 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 blah.
So basically, that's the town, the next door neighbor.
Very Stars Hollow. It's very Gilmore Girls. Stars Hollow, that kind of town.
And this neighbor, which it ends up being interesting later as we'll talk about it, essentially ends up also becoming like a pimp for him.
Yeah, you're right.
Sort of going like, yeah, come on.
Yeah, the neighbor's like, come on, fuck him.
Well, because I want you.
Because what's happening is,
I feel like the whole town was that. Because there's like the old man at the general store also. I feel like everyone in this town
wants him
knows
to get
laid. Is trying to get him laid.
Well, they are, like, they meet. Their meet cute is he gives her a cup of coffee. She decides to stay in town, and they are on each other like almost instantaneously.
It's kind of
weird. She has just committed a murder, and his wife is dead.
Yes,
and they are like almost instantaneously on each other's dicks.
I have a theory as to why
she seemed okay.
It's that they're both wearing a lot of self-tanner.
that does
attract. Which is something that fascinates me.
They can appreciate that about themselves?
They can appreciate that, and they see it. It's like one, you know,
that's the one small
species.
Business that we didn't get into.
I don't understand these films. The
self-tanner.
Yeah, when she's on the run, she has time to apply.
Oh, she also has
she's crying
flawless,
in bathrooms and truck stops, just applying.
She also has a flawless manicure at all times.
Okay. Oh,
which I was like, this is fascinating.
There's one amazing scene where they both get wet and run through the forest exactly the same way from Notebook, almost shot for shot the same way, and they get there and she dries off in the next reveal and is totally perfectly coiffed. There's not a hair
like
out of line.
The Naked Gun joke.
Yeah.
I loved the it's raining. I mean, I guess maybe we shouldn't go. And I'm like, no, of course, Nicholas Sparks, go in the rain, go in the rain.
That's where romance blooms, literally.
Is the hallmark of all Nicholas Sparks books is a falling in love scene in the rain?
But it's definitely like, look how raw, and it's like we are birthed from the earth.
Oh, that's really it, too.
So now I think the audience here listening, if you've not watched this movie, which I recommend that you do, gets an idea of what we're playing with. So now I think we can kind of start start to peel back what doesn't make sense. And so
the first reveal that happens is, again, we're cutting between her and Josh Duhamel falling in love. She is falling in love with his kids.
Yes.
Like she gets a job at the restaurant where she's working and getting, you know, better at that. She's letting her guard down. She's friends with Kobe Smulders. Ba, ba, ba. She's like really integrating herself into this town.
And then the other side is this cop who is so obsessed with finding this woman that he literally is sleeping in the house where the murder occurred.
Yes.
And nothing has changed. And this woman seemingly has been gone for at least a month or longer.
I couldn't understand time in this movie.
No,
I will
time.
Say that. Yeah. But yes, I thought he is so like he
no
is
crime
like,
scene tape.
Yeah. The crime scene is still
but preserved, and he's drinking that, like a mother whose child dies as it left.
It's like the Anne Frank house. Stain, of,
there's a blood stain on the floor. He takes the bottle that is there and he's drinking booze from the thing. He wakes up in the house where the murder occurred.
Takes an alcoholic nap.
Yeah. And he also like is yelling at this next door neighbor. Have you seen her? And the next door neighbor like, we haven't seen anybody. So I just want to give you a clip of the cop interrogating somebody. Take a listen.
I've been looking over this Lumpkin case.
Who asked you to do that? Who asked you to do that?
You know what it looks like? It looks like his alibi might actually check out.
Okay. Right. Lieutenant signed off on it. DA's office signed off on it. Case is closed. I got to open cases to work now.
Man, the guy has three little kids, and, you know, even if there's a slight chance he's innocent, I think we should...
Don't you have, a wife or something that you can go home and irritate?
So this is...
He then says, nobody is innocent.
Yeah, exactly.
He then says, no, when are you going to learn?
Sorry.
Nobody's innocent.
So, okay, this cop is...
Foreshadow. No, it's not, really.
This cop is obsessed. Obsessed with this murderer. So now he can...
This murderer who... And I think, is it in this scene that he's making the...
It's almost personal.
He's making the APB bulletin for Julianne Hough, where he then... He puts out an APB, like a wanted person thing, which is part of what happens Josh Duhamel sees the wanted poster in the police station. He confronts her, blah, blah, blah.
By the way, he also creates a wanted poster. Is this what you're going to talk about? How he creates it?
Yeah, like, in Detective Photoshop?
With an old photo of Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah, well, like, but also, he takes a lot of giant guesses of what, like, Julianne Hough has, like, cut her long brown hair into short, like, exactly the same length and color. Like,
and style.
The way he does it, it's almost like he's like, would this look good? No. This? Maybe this color. This color's flattering. Yep. Yeah.
This guy, once he is discharged from the police for unpolicemanlike conduct, could make a good living photoshopping pictures. Okay.
I just want to add real quick about that clip. As I was listening, in the sound design, as they call it in the movies, he's typing while still talking to that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he's able to completely
he's super good at Photoshop, Jordan.
Drunk. Yeah, he's doing Photoshop and type. What is he typing? Letters? Because he's doing a drawing at
and
that point,
mostly,
isn't he?
It's mostly typing based Photoshop, not like mouse.
So sophisticated. That's with code.
He's coding a website.
He's coding a photo.
So this guy is, you know, he's sending out.
And again, this is all like handheld, edgy, dark. It's the exact opposite of the beautiful town.
Okay.
So then what we find out...
They had David Fincher direct those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For me, it was when he slams the letters up and is like, ah! Oh. You lied to me, old lady!
Oh, well, yeah, this is amazing.
He has an epiphany where he finds a piece of paper in the murder house that has handwriting on it. He goes next door to the next door neighbor's house. He looks in her mailbox. The handwritings match. And then he says, you lied to me. You know where she is. You're going to tell me where she is. And she's like, you go get a warrant, blah, blah, blah. He goes back to get a warrant. So once he goes back to get the warrant, his boss calls him into his office.
Yes.
And the guy is like, get in here. And he's like, I'm busy. I'm doing work or whatever. And the guy's like, you come in here right now.
Well, and I feel like they've also, though, tainted him for us at this point, because the people he was harassing were an old woman and her very feeble husband.
Why is that guy so like...
To be like, look at who he's picking on.
Like, that guy like was sick or something, right?
Yes. Yeah, he was like,
it's
like
time for my husband's nap.
And
everybody's got dementia
grapes
in Nicholas Sparks books.
All right, so he gets called in, and this is what happens. He's working this case.
You know, I knew you were crazy, but I didn't think you were stupid.
I need to find her.
You don't do it like this. You know that. You know that. I need your badge and your gun.
I need to find her, Jim.
Kevin, you sent out a nationwide APB. She's not a murderer, for Christ's sake. She's your goddamn wife.
Boom! Oh!
No.
Wait, I mean, she's his wife?
I do wish I had seen that scene in the theater to see, just to hear the reaction of everybody going, uh-huh.
Just to hear everybody collectively poop their pants.
Now this opens up a fucking giant can of worms here because he's harassing this next door neighbor, which is his next door neighbor.
Yes.
He's living in his house.
Yes.
But the next door neighbor has no... like,
she's saying come back with a warrant.
Yes.
To her neighbor.
Did you guys really?
And when
like,
he first approaches, she's like, get out of here.
Did you guys really not know until that point?
I didn't know.
Wow.
I didn't. The second reveal, the other big reveal, I did know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did figure out, but this one, I had no idea.
See, I have a Tyler Perry power.
Where okay.
This, within like the first 5 minutes of a Tyler Perry movie, I can tell you what the exact entire movie is going to be. Which I was like, does everybody not know this? And my friends were like, no, that's crazy. Do it again. And we'll see another movie. And I think it applies just as accurately to Nicholas Sparks.
Interesting.
More proof that it's the same
stuff. I love
that.
I mean, and now this whole thing, let's go back to the beginning and go, all right, so it's... We find out that he's an abusive drunk in a flashback where they're eating pie for dinner in the afternoon.
It's a new recipe.
It's a new recipe like that it? the neighbor gave her.
Always her picking undoing. Those cherries that's from her, the... Yeah.
Cherry pie and wine in the afternoon. And he gets abusively drunk with her because she takes away his wine glass, then decides to beat her. She, in self-defense after being choked, kind of... swipes at him like doesn't plunge a knife.
No, she stabs him.
Yeah, she stabs him.
She straight up stabs him in the side.
Okay,
you know.
But then she goes on the run. But now he is when she got on that bus. It's maybe 40 minutes later.
Well, no, because she had to have done her hair and
she
stuff.
Dyes her hair.
She had her hair dyed.
She went to the neighbor's house.
Neighbor hides her out.
Okay.
That was the original flashback. Beginning
then
of
we saw the other flashback where she cuts her hair.
But I'm so confused then because it's like, so why was
you're
this,
not the only one.
Like, then why was that police chase so hot? Because he has multiple guys going to a bus station.
Why does he know that moment? Yeah. How does he have that many people at his disposal to chase his wife?
Who... Do people know that he was stabbed? Because he has no injury.
He doesn't appear to be injured, although he has been stabbed.
She's covered in blood. He would still be hurt.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So but he's drinking away that pain.
Yeah, he's stabbed and just alcohol spilled out. A buffer of alcohol.
It does not make sense.
So it's like she's leaving in the middle of a rainstorm, but he's like chasing her, but he didn't know where she was. So that beginning of the movie makes no sense.
Oh, no. Now none of it adds up.
Because if she was hiding with the next door neighbor, she could have hid out there for like 3 or 4 days, then snuck out on a bus, rented a car, done anything.
They at least needed a scene, like a flashback where she was going like, oh, I'm one of these days, I'm going to leave you and go to that train station.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, how about this? She stabs him, she runs next door, he's like, I'm so mad. And then he is like, but I'm so drunk. And he passes out.
Sure.
Got it.
And while he's passed out, that's where she's next door and the neighbor's like, you got to dye your hair and get on a bus. And she's like, okay, does all that. He wakes up and is like, sees them pulling out of the driveway, boom, back into the movie.
I mean,
because you needed the stabbing.
What?
You need the stabbing.
Well, but he's been stabbed.
Oh, you're saying keep the stabbing and then he passes out drunk.
But he's passed out and it kind of, you know, it scabs up. It's not that bad.
It's just a scabber?
Just a scabber.
But it's crazy.
It's just a quick scabber.
By the way, I did like in this whole thing, they do a flashback at one point of her cutting her hair, which is what we already know because she has different hair. This is a scene that you don't need to see.
That was the same girl.
Oh. Please tell me they weren't trying to, that was not a reveal. Okay.
No, they weren't.
Because it's like, but it's so crazy. It's like, we don't need to see the scene where she cut her hair. It's not super climactic because she's been having the blonde hair from moment one.
I'm also going to say, though, based on this conversation, that I am right that all this shit was in there for the fellas because we haven't talked at all about the sweet conversations with the little girl. And that bike. Oh, he gave her a bike.
Oh, I love that.
But I feel like this is exactly why they put that shit in there. Because the chase. Everyone's going to love this movie.
But the bike stuff is sweet, and that's the romance that kind of worked. Ultimately, in my mind, there's not too many problems with that except for the fact that at one point, Josh Duhamel and her, when they almost hold hands at the beach,
And the kids are like, ooh.
Well, the kids, I was like, it is irresponsible for him this quickly to be letting this woman become so integrated with his children.
Yes.
That, to me, seemed irresponsible on his part.
That's the door she came in. It wasn't even like he met her and was like,
met the daughter, and that was the first relationship. You're right. Yeah.
And he's also being a little creepy to drop off a bike in the middle of the night. Like, it seemed like late at night he dropped it.
Super creepy.
Yeah. Well, but they needed it so she could get scared.
Spooked.
Also, there was a few shots of the son staring at him like as if the son was evil or something.
Yeah.
It was just the son being suspicious, but the way they shot it, it looked like the son had murdered someone.
And the son, like, at least like the son should be suspicious for a reason, but there's nothing about Juliana Huff that is suspicious. Like, she doesn't act really weird. The only time that like I thought Josh Duhamel comes across kind of like a date rapist is the part where he offers to bring the paint cans in the house. He's like, "Can I bring them in?" She's like, "No." No. And he's like, "Fine, fuck you." Like, he basically takes on the attitude of, "Fuck you then, I don't give a shit."
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
Oh, he like kind of gets like a little bit oddly, like too defensive. Like, guys, calm down. You just met. Like, you want to come in this woman's house? And I just felt like he got a little, like, he showed a side of himself that was like, oh, she's falling for the same type of guy, this kind of guy. Like,
yeah. Well, he does the same thing when she's like, it was really inappropriate for you to bring a bike to my house at night. And he's like, "Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know you anymore."
And then, like, and then she apologizes and he still won't talk to her and walks past her to like, help a customer.
By the way, here's another moment. The whole...
But she was like a little ungrateful for that bike.
I mean, come on.
Take the bike. It's probably his dead wife's bike. You know, it was a nice move.
Yeah, when a guy brings you something late at night and leaves it outside your window as though to say, "I know where you sleep," you should thank him.
Like a cat bringing you a dead mouse, you should say, "Thank you for this lovely gift."
Whoa. Stop the clock. Guys, I got to tell you about something super cool. Yes, today's episode is brought to you by Audible, but it's also brought to you by their brand new show, How to Be Amazing. What is How to Be Amazing? Well, it's Michael Ian Black, who you love from Wet Hot American Summer, and Stella. He is hosting a show that's only available on Audible, okay? And it interviews amazing people about how they got to be amazing. You can get the first 4 episodes for free right now if you go to audible.com/MIB. And this is fucking cool because he's interviewing Bob Odenkirk, Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love, Lin-Manuel Miranda, the creator and star of The Heights, and Tavi Gevinson. I think I'm mispronouncing her name, but she created Rookie Magazine, and it's so great. He gets to sit down and go in depth with all these people. So you not only get Michael Ian Black, but you get these great interviews, and you get it for totally free. Okay, just go to audible.com/MIB, and you get the first 4 episodes. It's called How to Be Amazing. Just go to audible.com right now. Get it. Audible, getting into that podcast game. Do it. Suck it. Love it. People always ask me, "Paul, are you psychic?" And I say, "Yes, I am." Let me do it for you right now. Okay. In the next day or two, you'll be looking at Netflix. You'll be having trouble picking what you want. You'll be arguing over a documentary to appear smart or binge watching a show that you've heard about but you are not quite sold on yet. Let me take the pressure out of this decision. You need to watch Aziz Ansari's brand new stand-up special. Oh shit, he's got a new one? Yes, he does. It's amazing. In front of a live, sold-out crowd at Madison Square Garden, which I was actually at. So technically, I'm in this. Aziz kills it. It's called Aziz Ansari, live at Madison Square Garden. You know him from Parks and Recreation, I Love You, Man, and let's not forget his work on Human Giant. Man, that show was so good. So many great people on it. There was one guy in there who always wore hats. Oh, he was so good. Aziz is so great. If you've seen his stand-up, you know this. He's funny, and I'm going to read the copy that they're giving me right now. Hilariously sharp-witted takes on topics ranging from food to the struggles of American immigrants. But it's Aziz. He's fucking funny. What do you want me to tell you? I can't sell it to you more than saying, you know Aziz, let's get listening. It's free. It's on Netflix. Yes, I know you pay for Netflix every month. This is what they're giving you. They're giving you cool new shit you can't get anywhere. So Aziz, live at Madison Square Garden. If you're streaming now, get it on Netflix. Okay, so that's what I see in your future.
Well, here's another thing about the movie that never paid off, in my opinion. Josh Duhamel is set up, I guess only in one scene, that he loves taking pictures. He takes a million pictures.
Oh my God, a million.
Everything. Oh, wow. And you would think, now there's a point where the cop gets confronted in the cop comes to the general store and they have
Does manage to figure out where she is.
Yes.
So he's now
just accidentally though.
Well, yeah, by breaking into the old woman's house.
No, he breaks into the woman's house.
Yeah. But once it gets specific and it's in the town, I'm like, what?
Well, just, by the way, like he breaks into his next door neighbor's house and happens to play her voicemails, which the old woman has not erased, and it seems like it's been like
it's the third one. I was like, roll of threes.
And a woman who's trying to cover any tracks for her.
Exactly. Also, delete that message immediately.
Why does Julianne Hough leave a message?
Yeah.
Why does she leave a message on someone's machine?
Yeah, call back.
A, and B, why does the old woman, he is in her home playing her answering machine in the living room.
Yeah.
The woman wakes up and goes to the bathroom while the machine is and doesn't come in and be like, what the fuck's going on?
She was sleepwalking. Yeah,
it's so crazy. Was like, oh, this is just really stupid.
But now, two things I just wanted to, before I forget. You had mentioned the paint can, what it's in it?
Fresh start.
Okay, so that's like a metaphor or a overpassed a metaphor, just full on in your face. But there was, you just mentioned him taking photos on the beach.
Yeah.
This is purely like, I feel like an inside joke that maybe the graphics department did. It said five. This is such a nerd comment. Camera is five. It's like 5 megapixels. Which so in 2013, like the most basic camera is 10 or up, at least 8. So well, they definitely were going like this dummy. He would have a 5, and he would have no battery. Which then he, by the way, is charged later on the beach. So he has a car charger for
or
that crappy
an extra
camera?
Battery.
He's
or
that
an extra
obsessive
battery.
About right. photos. Yeah.
Well, by the way, here's my...
Doesn't seem like the extra battery kind of guy.
I like the 5 megapixels, but I also like the fact that... So he takes all these pictures. Now, in my opinion, when the cop comes to town and confronts Josh Duhamel, doesn't know that Josh Duhamel and his ex-wife are in a relationship, I thought that the best moment would be... Oh, one of those pictures is behind the counter in the general store. And he's like, oh, my wife is here. But nope, that's too much of a linear thread. Like they set up things that they don't even pay off.
Instead, he gets drunk and wanders through a parade. An entire parade, both on the street, in the crowd, grabbing blondes with short hair and like hard on the arm, grabbing and spinning around women like over and over again, and goes on unfettered. No one bothers him. Yeah. Everybody allows him to act like a drunk
among
maniac.
Kids.
And this is after he's had a very threatening conversation with a 6-year-old child.
Yes,
sure.
Because he's drinking a vodka out of a water bottle.
Ooh,
by the
I
way.
Thought she handled him so well. Though.
Oh yeah, she lied.
She was awesome. Awesome. She lied, the little girl. Yeah. Oh, I loved her in this movie.
I was really worried. I was like, oh man, they're going to do that thing where it's like every female character is a victim and we have to, he's going to steal the little girl. And I was so glad he did not steal
the
little girl.
To talk about things that don't match up linearly, the girl sees the picture of Julianne Hough and goes, no, I've never seen her. Great, good on you, girl. You did it. You should have won that award. Then when the dad comes, she goes, hey, by the way, that guy had a picture of your girlfriend. He said that she's wanted. Like, the girl never says that.
Yeah,
like,
no,
the girl is confronted with a cop going, this person is wanted.
But what she asks is, don't cops wear uniforms to her dad? And her dad's like, ma'am, I don't know, honey.
So as far as she knows, she straight up lied to a cop.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
and then didn't
so she's and then a, withheld she's a information from her father.
Yeah, withheld and very important information.
Yeah.
Also, not to rewind again, but so that mugshot that he created, right?
Yeah.
Ostensibly, first of all, I don't know if this is the old West. I don't think it works like that, and even in small towns where they fax a photo and they nail it to the wall.
Yeah.
Okay. But okay, let's go with that conceit. So this
every
this,
day.
Okay. Right. So. Ostensibly, this is some random town nowhere near Boston where they were at, right? So wouldn't there be just pictures from all over the country of murderers? Why is only her photo make it to that fax machine?
It makes no... That's the thing. It's like, it makes no... It's so convenient. Like, all right, fax every police department in the country?
Right, so you'd have every murderer
that's
wanted in Wisconsin and
that's
Ohio.
That's what his boss said.
He's like, you already
his
put
boss
an
said
APB.
You put an APB out to the entire country.
Right, but I'm saying within that police office in
you're right,
what's the
town
called?
It should, if this
there
is,
should, it should be plastered with photos from Wisconsin, Ohio.
Policy.
Yeah, I see.
Chicago, New York. Like, why is it just that one exact?
Maybe they have another room for that, and then they have one bulletin board for wives.
Right.
just
wives.
That is one reveal. Now, let me just talk about two things that were different in the novel.
Did you read the novel?
No, I have some information about the novel.
Still didn't answer her. Did you read the novel?
I'm now going to. In the novel, Katie, who is our main character, consciously shoots Kevin dead in the book. So she believes that he is dead, her husband.
She doesn't think, bam. She thinks she's being
searched. At the beginning.
Yes. She thinks the police are after her, but not him.
Exactly.
They may have tested and seemed too harsh, but I think if that was the case, it would justify a lot of her behavior.
Well, also, you could tell the story without all the flashbacks and hoo-ha. And
then here's the other little bit of information. Alex, who is our male lead, he used to be a police detective in the book, and that's how he finds out who Katie really is. So he kind of puts it together.
Oh, interesting.
It's not just presented to him with a police mugshot.
So wait a second. In the book, she successfully kills her husband?
She consciously shoots him.
Oh, and then he shows up. Still.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So that is just two little things.
Her husband, what's the character's name, her husband?
Kevin.
Not the worst cop. Aside from the drinking and everything, he's able to track her
down. Oh, he does an amazing job.
Pretty good at his job. Which I liked in that recording you played where his boss said, I knew you were crazy, but I didn't think you were stupid. you keep a guy on the force that's crazy?
Yeah. Absolutely.
This is the Boston Police Department.
Oh, okay.
It is full of crazies.
I haven't seen the town, so I don't know.
Now, when Josh Duhamel is confronted with the information that she has killed someone, he goes, who did you kill? And she goes, it's complicated or something.
It's complicated, the movie.
He goes off, goes to his loft, thinks about it for a while, and then basically comes back to her and is like, all right, cool, let's continue to date.
Tell me what happened. Let's figure it out.
He doesn't even really say, tell me about it. He's like, I love you. Let's do this.
He gets so mad. He's like, how dare you? Get out of here. I hate you.
I can't believe I let my kids trust you, blah, blah, blah.
And then is instantly like, nah, girl. It's all right.
Don't leave.
His impetus for going back is, you know what? Let's put all that murdering behind us.
I'm sorry. And he apologizes. He's like, I'm sorry. I was so crazy.
Let's figure this out. Let's go to the police. And then she's like, you don't understand.
He is the police.
But here's the thing. Again, he goes back not knowing. She doesn't say anything. It was self-defense. My husband was abusive. It's an open-ended question. Who did you kill? I can't get into it. And he's like, okay, let's move past that.
I love you.
Yeah.
It drives me so nuts when people won't say a thing in a movie or a TV show that there's no reason for them not to say, and it would just fix everything.
Yeah.
Just say that.
Yes.
I also had an issue with...
Come on, Katie/Aaron.
one other small detail I just want to bring up is our cop, our great, crazy, dumb cop, is drinks vodka out of a water bottle. And when he goes
to... An Aquafina water bottle.
I get
product
that.
Placement.
And get those Roxy swimsuits, y'all. Roxy makes some good swimsuits. The girl I like that Roxy one. He goes to the general store to get a water bottle to dump out the water and pour vodka in. And I was like, well, now he's in Southport. Can he just drink out of the vodka bottle here? I mean,
not out on the street. He went to a parade.
Oh, I guess you're right. But he's okay with molesting women.
Well, he's supposedly on duty, too. Looking for a suspect, so he can't be drinking alcohol.
Except that he doesn't have a badge or a gun anymore, right? He's been debarred or whatever. Not debarred.
So he's just a drunk guy now.
I go off of what the little girl now thinks of. There's certain cops that are detectives that don't have outfits.
And they just sweat like crazy.
They sweat, and they look like they're coming off meth.
One thing about the love story, I will say that I think most of the romantic comedies I watch, I guess, are high school ones or teenage ones. And it was kind of fun to see one that was like, oh, will they, won't they, will they, won't they, will they, won't they. And instead of them, they finally kiss. It's like, nope, they finally fuck all the time. All these scenes are going to be in bed from here on out.
Yep.
I was like, look at that. That's kind of grown up-y and fun.
Oh, it's just Bone Zone.
Yeah.
Bone Zone, 100%. And
after the first time they make out, they make out in the rain.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they make out at the restaurant. I had a real problem with that.
I didn't like the restaurant/tackle shop/hardware store
that they were instantly like PDA.
Yeah.
I thought that was like not cool.
You just didn't like that couple.
They're like, dancing. I was like, hey guys, in a bait store.
Slow your roll. You know what I mean? Like introduce this cool. Like, don't worry. Yeah. Like, don't be in such a rush. They became like teenagers, and then they are straight up plowing each other and kissing each other's hands.
I wrote down that
I'm gonna kiss your hand. I like you so much. When we're holding hands, I'm gonna kiss your hand. No thanks.
How's it going for you?
Not great. I am dying alone.
All right. So now Julianne Hough is alerted to her husband's presence by the next door neighbor.
Her friend, the Kobe Smulders character.
It comes in and alerts her.
A dream.
Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In a dream.
In a dream that happens.
And the whole... That character, I can't even with the whole...
I mean, we got to talk about it. Anyone can reveal it.
Dig right in. Eliza, do you want to reveal this?
Are you about to go Sixth Sense over here?
Okay.
Yeah.
Please reveal?
Please do. Yeah.
All right. So she has this friend through the whole movie who no one else talks to except for her.
It's not overtly done like that.
She is the other woman who lives...
meet up in the woods.
Yeah. She's the other... she introduced herself as the other woman who lives alone in the woods.
Yeah.
Who wanted to get away from everything, blah, blah, blah.
And she also when they go get a cup of coffee, she's like, you want anything? She's like, no, I'll just wait out here on the porch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, okay.
And she is real aggressive about her opinions and advice.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the movie, side note, completely unrelated, the mother of Josh Duhamel's children has left letters for her children for each of the different points in their life.
Like he finds them in a desk, and to Josh and her son
birthday.
On his graduation.
Which nothing lets your... husband have a harder time letting go of you
than
planning out for the first time you finally can masturbate for the woman you're sleeping with. You better read this.
And one of those letters just says to her.
To her.
And the last scene in the movie is Josh Duhamel giving that letter to
her,
Katie, because she's her, and she reads it, and the voiceover voice
begins.
Is Colby.
Colby is Smulders. A ghost.
She was a ghost the whole time.
She was the dead wife.
That's why.
This is where I burst into tears.
Oh, yeah.
By the way,
tears shot out of my face.
By the way, that letter was pretty amazing.
That letter was amazing.
And that's a true story. You know about that one, right?
No.
What?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's this I don't know if I heard it on This American Life or which one of these things, but yeah, there was a story that went around for a while about this man who his wife had left a letter for his, for
her.
For whoever he married after she died.
Let's take a listen to a little bit of the letter. Here we go.
There's a letter here. It's for you.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
To her.
Yeah. Guys, get ready if you're at home to break out a tissue. Some pauses here as she opens it up, looks at the letter.
How's it going?
And you guys feel free to tell me when to stop, but I think we have a lot of the letter here.
Music swells.
It's one of those music cards.
At this point,
the woman my husband loves.
Oh.
If you're reading this, then it must be true. He loves you.
She loves you.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
I'm getting welled up now.
I can't even.
He wouldn't have given this to you.
I can only hope that you feel the same way about him as he does about you.
That you?
But I wanted to write you a letter because I wanted you to know one very, very important thing. I'm so glad he's found you.
Aww.
Come on.
I only wish I could be there somehow to meet you.
But seeing she was.
Maybe in some ways...
I can't believe she wrote this with a guitar.
I am.
Oh.
And that's the reveal. They cut to a picture as if the voiceover didn't tell you. So now...
By the way, it didn't tell me. Do you guys know her... Colby well enough that you
the
right
voice,
away you were
the
like
voice,
Colby.
Oh yeah, yes.
The voice I figured it out a couple of scenes earlier.
I knew she was a ghost already, but I hadn't.
I figured out that she was the wife.
I was completely shocked when it happened and didn't care.
I was like, why is she acting like there's ants in her pants through the whole movie? Is she a detective? Is she a, oh, wait, no, she's a ghost.
Well, here's the thing, guys. I need to talk about this because, okay, if she is a ghost, does that mean that Julianne Hough can see ghosts and speak to them?
Yeah, well, yeah, it means that she's Julianne Hough is crazy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Or is she crazy and talking to no one?
Or she has sixth sense.
No, yeah. It means, I think that it means that she can talk to ghosts and that she knew the whole time. Do you remember when she has a scene, she's like, you're just stuck here. You can't leave. And I was like, what is she talking about? When did they talk about why she's stuck here? And like, oh, she's stuck there because she's a ghost.
Yeah. Well, and she says that. Kobe says that. She says, why don't you leave? Why don't you blah, blah, blah? And she's like, some of us don't have that luxury. Yeah. Or whatever. She's like, basically, I can't leave because she's a ghost trapped to haunt this town until her husband plows somebody else into loving him.
Well, yeah. And I like one of the things that I went back and remembered after that is, remember, she gets the drawing from the little girl at the beginning, and she's like, what are you drawing? She's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, it looks kind of like a fish. She's like, it's a flying fish. And then she's walking with Colby, and she looks at the picture and is like, oh, flying fish, huh?
Yeah.
Because it's her daughter's. Yes. So she knows her daughter's flying fish.
But this is
cheesy peasy.
This letter, the reading of this letter ruined me. I was like crying so hard in my house, just like inconsolable.
I'm cut off from my emotions, so I wasn't crying. But
you're a comedy writer, right, Jordan?
Yeah. Exactly. There you go. I actually have only cried twice in a movie in the last 15 years.
What were they?
And it was both the same movie, same scene.
What?
It was The Sixth Sense when the kid is telling her that he spoke to her mother.
Right.
Uh-huh. Then this in really should have gotten you. You're into ghosts.
That's the only thing that taps down.
Wow. Ghost love
tears.
Is your thing.
Oh, I cry all the time at stuff.
I know. I'm cut off, like I said. But because I'm cut off and use humor as a defense, as that scene was playing, as the letter was being read, I was thinking to myself, it would be so funny if she, in the letter, is explaining, actually, I faked my death and I got this guy out of the town. And it's like this whole, it was like a joke I was saying. But then they topped the joke with the most insane thing, that she's a ghost trying to do this reveal, this crying game, Sixth Sense. What?
I was hoping that it would end with like, also, he likes a wet finger in his butt from time to time. Right. Not an everyday thing, but you guys will figure it out.
But yes. You go, girl.
And again, not to be a stickler on the thing, but it's like the thought of, is it a ghost or is it in Katie's mind? Because when Katie reads the letter, she's looking at her walking through the woods, and then Joe, that's Colby Smothers, just disappears. So that would mean that it was in her mind.
Yeah.
Right? So,
or she could call it
now
up.
Now I want her to just start screaming at that point, like, ah, it was a ghost.
Well,
ah!
She doesn't do the thing that I would have assumed she would do, which is run straight to Alex and be like, I've been talking to this woman for a month. She lives near me. She's been watching over us. I've seen a ghost. Well, I know this.
Do you remember me telling you in bed about that woman I'm slowly becoming friends with and I'm starting to like it here?
Yeah.
Well, that's your dead wife.
And one of our researchers, Nate, he brings up the point. He goes, if she is insane, then this is a new insanity that no one has ever heard of, because it makes you imagine someone, you imagine the person for what they look like. Like, if she's imagining it,
she's a great imagination.
I mean, she's a ghost.
I think you're putting so much more thought into this than anyone who made that
movie.
Richard Roper had the same concerns.
Well, I also think it's an interesting question: is what the writers were thinking?
Yeah, like
so, like what's there
weren't.
Was
is it like? I mean, if it's a
I
ghost,
think they must have had it. Okay.
I can tell you what the writer was thinking.
Yeah,
I'm Nicholas fucking Sparks. I can do whatever I want.
Bam!
It's all right.
Cha-ching.
So we have to assume that it is 100% a ghost.
Yes.
She was talking to a ghost the entire time, and when we cut to that thing on the street, the fact that she's disappearing is the audience seeing it how it actually looked.
Yes.
So Katie was walking down the center of town just ba 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 ba.
Yep.
To no one.
Yes.
Okay.
Or maybe just thinking. She's but just thinking the stuff. She's not saying it out loud.
But no, that would make her crazy. If it's a ghost, she'd have to be talking out loud.
My point is, it's insane. It's even more insane that she would not have discussed this relationship with anyone else.
I agree.
Yes.
Yes.
Especially to be like,
I met this great girl. I should bring her out.
Yes.
Oh, like, do you know the girl that lives in town, Joe?
Yeah.
She never says that to
because,
Alex.
Because she's ingratiated herself now with everyone, and she likes Kobe now. So she would have said, Kobe, you know what? Why don't you – I'd like to walk. You know, I'll take you out, and let me introduce you to someone.
Yeah. I agree with all of them.
And by the way, Kobe was –
You could have had a whole interesting movie that's just like the relationship between a woman and her
– ghost friend?
Her new boyfriend's ex, like, former wife ghost.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
former wife
because
ghost.
Because she was so like, yes, do it with him. Do it with him. Instead of like, ah, this is weird for me as a ghost wife. To tell you to do it with him, but I want you to.
When I realized it was her the whole time, and she was happy, and she had been like happy for her, and she had been like trying to make it happen, and that was very. I liked that.
Well,
this movie reminded me of. Did you guys ever like? I don't know. This movie reminded me of like movies that I would see on like TV when I was like 13, 14 years old that were like adult love story movies.
Like Lifetime
that
movies.
I would catch at like, you know, 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon and be like, this is what being in love is. This is what like falling in love is. You know, like the not the cop element.
No,
but
yeah. But
the beach,
like the
beach,
the two hands coming close to each other.
Not by a crazed man.
Not that.
Not the
fugitive elements of it. But like the kind of he's got two kids, she's like a on the run kind of new girl. I don't know.
She's his safe haven.
This was incredibly nostalgic for me, as well as being something that I was genuinely enjoying.
And no one in this in these kind of love stories, and in this one in particular, no one is ever asking for love. Everyone clearly needs love, but no one is ever like, will you please give me love?
Yes.
They're just like, it's cool, I don't need it. And someone else is like, oh, I want to give you love so bad.
But it's also, I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about it. I think that's why this movie made $71 million.
Whoa. Wow.
Because it feels so familiar, like what you're talking about, that you're connected to it, but that you don't think about the insanity of what you've just watched. You're just like sitting there eating popcorn, going, oh, that's an interesting twist.
You're sure it has nothing to do with from the creator of The Notebook?
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, look, people, I mean, you know, maybe. they're going back. Tyler Perry, they go back too. They want to see. Yep. They want to see that story.
I will say, I was not. I'm not as much of a fan, Jason, as you were.
Jordan, should feel. Yeah, as someone who clearly has absolutely no emotions.
Right, I have no emotions.
I totally understand that.
I did. I know Kobe Smulders was from Avengers, so I waited till after the credits and watched the. Samuel L. Jackson, he did make an appearance.
So, obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are some people who had a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions! From top to bottom, crazy movies are fun.
They're not your first, but they're gonna be a second.
From the depths of Amazon, they come. Second Opinions for everyone.
Second Opinions!
All right, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. There are 65 pages of 5-star reviews for this movie.
Actually, I'm not surprised.
One of the biggest ones that we've ever done. And I'm going to read you a bunch because there's a bunch of just one-liners, and they're all pretty amazing. Nancy Pion writes, "Ordered for my neighbor? He seemed to like it. 5 stars. Betty J. Williams, "Never did get this loaded onto my iPad. Someday. 5 stars. Okay. Deanna.
Wait, so the person didn't even watch it?
Nope, but someday. Deanna Muller writes, "An enjoyable movie. It's very suspenseful, and it probably could happen in real life. 5 stars.
Wow.
Probably could happen. Yeah, the ghosts, the husband cop, all that.
Most likely.
Yeah.
I feel like, I was scrolling past this on Amazon, not attacked by birds while I saw it. 5 stars.
Grundy Boat writes, "Even law enforcement agents are not above the law, although their brethren find it hard to believe and band together to protect the guilty.
Whoa.
Eventually, they all get caught and they get what they deserve."
Wow.
5 stars.
Holy cow.
Wow.
That guy's got some real anger problems with the police.
Roberta Mayer, "My husband cried
John Mayer's
over..."
John Mayer's mom.
Oh my God, is it really?
It is. "My husband cried over this movie. A great romantic movie and an amazing twist at the end. If you like romance movies, watch this. You'll cry like a baby, like my husband."
Whoa.
5 stars.
"But also, your body is a wonderland." "My pussy husband, who I'm now divorcing." "Be a man."
Tree Crab writes, "I love this movie so much. Nicholas Sparks movies are amazing. The only thing I didn't like was the sexual behavior." 5 stars.
Wow. It sounds
never
like
be
those,
sexual.
I feel like some of those people Amazon must default to 5 stars if you don't know how to click it.
Oh, maybe, because I mean,
because some of those have no, they're not even giving an opinion. That, but he seems to like it. 5 stars.
We are seeing a lot of this. This is a trend that continues. The title of this is Crazy Crazy, and it's a so true in real life. You can't escape a crazy person no matter how hard you try. The crazy thing is you don't see it coming till too late. They portray life as it really happens. Even as a police officer, you can be crazy. 5 stars.
Oh, I feel like that person is begging for someone to go, hey man, do you have a story or something?
Yeah. And then, I wish the subject of that was Ain't No Safe Haven.
Then there were just literally pages of this. My daughter liked it. My daughter loved this movie. Daughter loved it. Thanks. Daughter loved it. Great. Granddaughter loved it. Thanks. Daughter loved it. Daughter-in-law bought it from my daughter. My daughter loved it, so did I.
Wow.
Everything. My daughter. All 5 stars.
My daughter.
No sons.
No sons enjoying this movie. Well, that was one of my...
We should say this, because we didn't.
Yes.
At the end of the movie, the psychotic cop husband comes to the town, hunts her down. Kobe Smulders wakes her up from a dream because she's a ghost. And in her dream, Kobe Smulders says to Julianne Hough, he's here. He's here now. And she wakes up and he is indeed in the house, which he then douses with gasoline and tries to light on fire. Then they get into a fight. Fireworks fall on the house. The house lights on fire with the little girl in it. The husband is killing Julianne Hough. Josh Duhamel comes, rescues his daughter, and Julianne Hough shoots her husband to death in front of the little girl and Josh Duhamel.
It's insane.
Yeah, that girl is going to have serious
trauma.
That girl's a liar. She's running a store. She's grifting
money.
She might be a sociopath.
She's six years old. Her mother is dead. She has been in a burning house.
And she has chosen to not remember her.
She's been inside a burning house she had to escape from. And she's watched her stepmom, ostensibly, shoot a man to death.
And I also, I don't think I heard sirens. But there's no fire department. It's a pretty small town coming to that blaze.
They're all at the fireworks.
Well, that was my question. I didn't see a fire marshal where they were setting off the fire. So you'd think there would be a fire marshal on hand for the fireworks, ready for a fire.
No, they're not there. Nope. All they do is wear some safety glasses.
Okay.
Guys, I think a lot of us, I know what we're going to say, but would you recommend watching this movie to our audience? I'd say yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you know what you're getting... Yeah.
If you know what you're getting.
Well, don't expect.
You just listen to this whole show.
Well, exactly. So then, yeah. If you listen to this show,
and this,
go for
and
it.
And it sounds like
and
something
sounds
you would be
fun,
into, yes.
Do it.
I say 100% yes. I was very into this movie.
I'd say if you walked in at the right time and heard certain parts of this podcast and it didn't get a spoiler alert, then yeah, go for it. But if you know everything
about it based on
what we've
that's
said,
true.
I wouldn't recommend it.
That's interesting. That's I wonder if I didn't know the spoilers, if I did know the spoilers,
stronger.
Rather, if I would have enjoyed it
yeah,
as
the
much.
Yeah, the spoilers kind of...
That's a good
yeah.
point.
I will say through the whole movie, everyone is, or all the lead players are very attractive.
Yep.
And yeah. have wonderful hair.
I will say this though, you don't see any tits.
No.
You see some sweet arms though.
Yep.
Some sweet dude
back.
Arms.
You great
real
back.
Real nice dude forearms, yeah. which don't get enough shout
scale,
out.
On a scale of 1 to tits, it was no tits.
It was zero tits. Zero tits in the movie.
Okay, let's talk about Zombievers. Zombievers. So you have a new movie.
Which I am in no position to criticize any movie with a title like Zombievers.
Oh, don't worry. We'll do it on there.
Oh,
we'll do it on the podcast.
Good, thank God.
It's coming out. So it's going to be on video on demand, right? Or is it going to come
out? It's going to be in theaters and on demand.
Okay.
It's going to come out. There's a premiere on March 18th, which is at the Ace Hotel that I hope you guys will come to and anyone can go to.
Mm. Anyone can go to?
Well, if they fly to downtown LA.
All right.
And then it comes out theaters and on demand March 20th.
And I've seen some of the clips of this that you've shown me. It's pretty great. I mean, it looks really fun.
Thanks.
And like it's tongue in cheek in the sense that it's
It knows what it is.
Yes, it knows what it is.
As opposed to like a Sharknado kind of situation.
I mean, it's half and half. The Sharknado, if I was, you know, I watched Sharknado, I think I was trying to pay homage to sort of the horror movies of the 80s that I grew up on. So sort of those.
Like Trauma movies or?
Trauma, definitely like Child's Play. Oh, I love The Thing.
Oh, Child's Play is a good example of that, yeah.
You know, films that the conceit is absurd, like The Thing, but they play
John Carpenter's The Thing?
Yeah.
Yep.
But they play it straight.
Yep.
So I was going for that type of vibe. First movie, low budget, so whether or not I nailed it on all accounts, I think it turned out pretty well. I'm happy.
Great.
But yeah, it's definitely, it
knows
what it is.
Any big twists? Any big twists like in this movie? Is there anyone a ghost?
Any ghosts?
There's no Colby, oddly Colby Smulders is in the film. No, there's no ghosts. There are zombies, there are beavers, and there are zombievers.
All right.
Now, does that happen when a zombie has sex with a beaver?
No, gets bit or sometimes implied scratch.
Interesting.
Ooh,
okay.
I like that. All right. So
are there tits in your movie?
There are tits. There are boobs.
I will be there.
As I refer to them. There's some boobs in the movie.
Yeah, let's not be offensive.
Because
let's keep it classy.
God forbid. Let's keep it. Let's jam some
classy.
Of the knockers. As those 80s films that I love have, there's sure. always, you know, there's got to be boobs.
All right, so give us the date one more time.
The date, VOD and theaters near you, hopefully near you, March 20th.
All right, very exciting. So that is good. Now, Eliza, what do you have to plug or talk about, if anything, not to put you on the spot?
Let's see. I do a lot of stand-up, travel around doing that.
And you can follow you on Twitter.
You can follow me on Twitter at @EliZaSkinner. I'm real funny on there.
She's got a lot of good jokes.
When's your next gig? I want to come see you.
Well, tonight, actually. Right after this.
Well, this won't make sense if you tell him a gig
right.
now because,
oh, yeah.
You don't know, yeah.
Down the row.
Well, that doesn't make sense. We'll follow
him
on Twitter.
We'll find him, yeah.
Yeah. I'll put him up.
Okay.
You can see me on a new ABC show called Fresh Off the Boat.
Fresh Off
on
the Boat.
On Tuesday nights. I think it's a really funny show. And people are watching it, which is a very exciting
thing. It is funny.
Thing.
I saw some of it.
And I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty funny. And Randall Park, Constance Wu,
so
really, really good, really good people. Jason?
I'm good.
Great. And this is from one of our people here. Are you still in The Dictator, the Sacha Baron Cohen movie?
I am not sure. I would have to check whatever version of it is streaming, but I've been told that I am still in the movie The Dictator.
Great. That's good to know. Okay, that's
I
good.
Would like to plug a friend of ours show. Will Forte has a show called Last Man on Earth that I think is hilarious, so everybody should watch that.
Perfect. Well, thank you to Engineer Sam, everybody here at Earwolf, our clip puller and our researchers, Avril Halley, and also Nate Kiley. They're amazing. And then we'll get June in here eventually again, too. You can follow us at HDTGM on Twitter. You can get us on our Facebook page. And if there's anything that we missed that we didn't talk about in this episode, you can leave it as a comment on our message board at earwolf.com. How'd this get
made? Yeah, guys, get on these message boards.
They are.
Get on these message boards and fight with each other, you dummies.
That only happens in... this may be controversial, this one. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.